Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The intent of the speech is to make sure that the American people are clear exactly what it is that we're proposing, to make sure that Democrats and Republicans understand that I'm open to new ideas, that we're not being rigid and ideological about this thing, but we do intend to get something done this year, and to dispel some of the myths and, frankly, silliness that's been floating out there for quite some time.
That's President Barack Obama talking on ABC's Good Morning America, describing his purpose for tonight's address on health care reform before a joint session of Congress. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You know that the president and his party could do this without anyone's help. They could do it without, I think, even a single vote. They could have health care reform. He's expressed his desire to be bipartisan, but the party issue isn't really what I want to talk about here in the first few minutes with Congressman John Shimkus. I want to talk about what we need in terms of health care reform and what would the president have to say to Congressman Shimkus, to us, to those who are very skeptical about the plans to change our minds or to trust him with health care reform. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 9th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. And you can always Twitter us at issuesetc. After a short conversation with Congressman John Shimkus on health care reform, we'll spend the rest of the hour talking with James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries about biblical inerrancy. Congressman John Shimkus serves the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. Congressman, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What does President Obama need to say to you tonight to convince you to trust him with health care reform?
He's got to call for a do-over. I mean, what he has and what he has moving through Congress is unacceptable. The vast majority of Republicans will not accept, quote-unquote, this public option which would compete unfairly against private insurance. And people would jettison their employer-based insurance system would just all get jettisoned to the public option, and you have one-payer system, which in the developed countries that have one-payer systems rations care. So there are market solutions to this. Give individual employees who are self-employed 100% health care deduction, allow people to buy insurance across state lines, allow organizations to pool their membership and compete with larger pools of people, even set up catastrophic pools by state. So there are market solutions out there. Unfortunately, this is another attempt by government to grab a major sector of our economy, and they will run it poorly.
President Obama has said that conservatives and his opponents on the health care reform debate haven't been honest when talking about abortion, euthanasia, health care reform. He says they've even been bearing false witness. His words, your response?
Yeah, this is what really is frustrating, because I use this in my talks throughout the whole August break. You've got me out there saying this will expand abortion. You've got him out there saying there's no way that this does. So then the public looks at either one of us and says, okay, someone's not telling the truth. And maybe he can be a little more vague, because there's a lot of different proposals out there. All I can speak of is the major bill that everyone talks to, which is H.R. 3200. Which is the bill that came out of my committee. And in the committee markup, we passed an amendment. I voted against it, and all the pro-life members voted against it, which was the lowest caps amendment. And the caps amendment explicitly authorized the public plan to cover all elective abortions and wrote the word abortion directly into the bill. You followed this debate quite a bit. We tried numerous times, even in a bipartisan manner. A good friend of mine, Bart Stupak, a Democrat from the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a strongly pro-life member of Congress, tried to get this amendment defeated and fought for what we call Henry Hyde Amendment language, which would just basically say that taxpayers' dollars in this public option could not go for abortion services. Those chances were defeated. So the president is just wrong, and he is not telling the truth.
Why the rush?
Well, the rush is because they don't want the public to know what's in the bill. They would rather have this vote before we left in the July break, because what they did not want to happen is what happened. We used a break, and the public used a break to get themselves informed on the bill. And this is just another example of a big government grab when we've increased our deficit, our indebtedness, and this government's moving too big. They knew that if given the chance to take this to the public as we did, the public would be on our side. That's why they want to pass this soon. And the other reason is they've got, in essence, 15 months to rehabilitate their image because they don't really believe that the public has long memories. And they pass this. The real policy doesn't get affected till 2013. Voters will forget. They will stay in power.
What do you think will likely happen here? I mean, the president could do his best to sell this, but you know that the nuts and bolts of actual lawmaking has very little to do with what presidents say when addressing joint sessions of Congress. What do you think will actually happen here, especially before the midterms?
Well, tonight we don't know. The rumors are he's going to support the public option, and the public option is really a non-starter for market-based conservative Republicans who believe in the market and competition and better quality, lower cost. You know, to lower prices, you want more of an item. You don't want less of an item. And if you go down to a single payer through a public option, you have less. You're going to have higher costs. That's the basic principle. It's ideological. You're not going to get. You're not going to people change. Now, there's rumors that he's going to bring up medical liability reform as kind of a sweetener to move some of us over to accept the public option. I don't think that's enough.
It sounds like you have several concerns. One, that this really won't fix the problem. And two, it will actually make the problem exponentially worse. Am I mischaracterizing you?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of problems. Look at the Congressional Budget Office, and I'm referring to H.R. 3200, which is the main bill that we're talking about. When the Congressional Budget Office, it's an independent agency of the federal of the Congress. When they looked at our bill, now the president used to always say we want to bend the cost curve down. The CBO said this raises the cost both of private insurance and the public option. And that's why the score of this over 10 years is $1.2 trillion, which means they have to raise money. They're going to take some money out of Medicare. They're going to raise some taxes, this fee on salaries, and then another service charge. You've heard about candy and all this other stuff they want to tax to pay for it, and they still don't make up the entire difference. Then it's just the debate on I know the countries around the world who have one-payer systems. Canada, who has a one-payer system, they're lucky because their default, if their system does not provide care, is the United States. And we know the stories of the Canadians who go to Michigan. They're at the Mayo Clinic. They go down to Florida. They have us to go to when their government says, wait on this major surgery. This does not – so there's the cost problem, and then there's the care problem. We have a funding problem. We have a hard time following the dollars. And so hospitals have to charge other people higher to cover the cost from compassionate care. We can fix that problem. It's like someone said, you know, with my ice maker in my kitchen is broken, I want to fix the ice maker. I don't necessarily need to remodel the whole kitchen. And what he's trying to do is really remodel the kitchen. Using his own words, and Jan Schakowsky, Barney Frank, Howard Dean, the public option is the gateway to a single-payer system.
Do you think that President Obama is more willing to compromise than House Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
I think they're both ideologues on the far left, views. Now, I think the president campaigned on being this centrist, this transformational post-partisan. That's not where he really is. That's what he advertised himself to be. Realpolitik, could he get there? Maybe. Could he triangulate like Clinton? Maybe. But definitely, man, Nancy Pelosi is not will not triangulate. Why should she have to? She's has the majority, and she's the Speaker of the House.
Am I still right that the president and his party can do this, whether or not they get any cooperation from the other side of the aisle?
Yeah, he well, his problem is he can't get the votes in his own party. So, but he could. He definitely has. He's got 44 seat majority in the House. There's 59 Democrat senators. There used to be 60 with the death of Ted Kennedy. Now they're down to 59. So there's a problem there on the filibuster issue right now. But you could make the argument that yes, they can.
Congressman John Shimkus serves the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and Godspeed as you make your way up to Capitol Hill tonight.
Great. Thanks, Todd. Take care.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time talking about biblical inerrancy. It used to be taken for granted that in one form or another, but all of them kind of tracking along the same line, Christians believed that the Bible was without error. It's really a default position that that Christians have landed on, both philosophically and in terms of what the Bible says about itself. Why? Because if the Bible contains errors, everything's up for grabs. Well, there are some serious Bible scholars today, among the evangelicals, oddly, who say everything is up for grabs, and it should be. We'll talk about biblical inerrancy with James White after this.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the New Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the New Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.